TEDx Marquette U is a new student organization looking to make an impact on campus and the greater Milwaukee community. They seek to amplify bold and exciting ideas through dynamic speakers in the distinct style of TED Talks. Rooted is the theme of their first event. It will explore stories on how our roots shape, fuel us, and make us who we are. Today, we meet some of the student organizers and speakers for their big first event on March 30th, which is open to the community. We'll hear from what inspired them to bring TED to campus and also get some tips from Marquette University President Mike Lovell, who has delivered his own TED Talk about innovation. I'm Lauren Burke, and this is Marquette in Milwaukee with President Mike Lovell. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about TED Talks. If we could have everybody introduce themselves. Dr. Lovell, starting with you.
Yeah, I'm Mike Lovell, president of Marquette University, and I'm excited to have another podcast.
Griselda Aldrete, president and CEO of Hispanic Professionals of Greater Milwaukee, double Marquette alum, so yay.
I'm Nathan Gregg. I'm an alum of the College of Engineering.
I'm Kyle Hagee. I'm a current second-year Trinity Fellow studying political science at Marquette.
I'm Yasmin Etta, and I'm a nursing student.
So I have some numbers here for you. The first TED conference was in 1984. The first annual event was in 1990. And the talks were first available for free online in 2006. So TED Talks have basically been around since, I'm guessing, before your entire student organization was born. So why does this appeal to your generation as a way of information sharing?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's all about the technology. A lot of people are obsessed with Netflix. I'm very much a YouTube person, YouTube all the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that just the ease and accessibility of just being able to click on a YouTube video and after however many minutes, 10, 15 minutes, just being able to be inspired by a talk, so many of them you just leave it and be like, and you feel something different and you feel some sort of change, whether it's like an inspiration or kind of like a motivation to do something within your life. And so that ease that we have right now with technology and the state that it is in right now, these talks will also be put up on YouTube as well. So it'll be a way for everyone to access them at some point.
I think in addition to that, they're really good conversation starters.
Sure.
And so outside of doing this big event in March, we held a smaller event. I think that was in December or November.
It was in December.
December.
Yeah.
And we played TED Talks to a community of people that came to the event, and they were on a lot of refugee issues or sex trafficking issues, and then we brought people in from the community that are working in those spaces. So I think all TED Talks, they have this ability to really draw you in and get you curious about a topic, and then be able to have people from the community who work on that topic answer some of the questions of how do we apply it to Milwaukee is a really cool thing that TED can help facilitate.
I would definitely agree. I think personally, just the whole TED, you know, technology, entertainment, design, I think that those topics really transcend any generation. So I think that the YouTube, like what you were saying, definitely helps spread it because it's such a great medium. It's easy for anyone to access. I think that's a huge thing that people really like. It's free. You know, you don't have to pay for a subscription. I think that's why so many people got engaged, and it's nice that it is now, like you said, online for free. So I think that's like a really big reason why it's spread in our generation so much.
Yeah. So Dr. Lovell, you've given a TED Talk, Two Truths of Innovation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What tips do you have for giving a TED Talk?
Well, one of the things, I think one of the reasons why TED Talks are so popular, obviously the ease of getting to them, but TED Talks are really about us telling a story. And you think about, you know, throughout our history and in our society, that is the way we've shared information with each other. And so to take 10 minutes to be able to tell a story, and typically I'm a firm believer that if you can only focus on two or three takeaways in that story, that's what the audience will appreciate and actually be able to comprehend what you're trying to say. So I think, again, keeping it fairly simple, you know, so that you only get those two or three main points you're trying to point out. And, you know, 10 minutes is usually about all you need to do that and keep someone's, you know, full attention. So those are really things that I focus on. But again, those those tangible stories, because, you know, when people say, you know, actual things that happened in their lives, you know, that's what really grabs you, right? It's not something that's esoteric or something that's theoretical. It's something, wow, you can actually learn because this person experienced that.
Do you remember the first TED Talk you ever saw, or one that maybe, like, you continue to go back to that's inspirational to you?
I think I saw, the first one I saw was on Sheryl Sandberg, the Lean In. And that was when the Lean In movement was, you know, was huge. But then I think you just start to find just that way. You then, you know, become a subscriber, and then you started to get more. And then I think my law professor, Andrea Schneider, did one. And then that was a really good one as well, and one that I've floated around a couple times to my girlfriends.
The first one that I ever watched, it was called The Danger of a Single Story. And it was about a woman. Her name is, I hope I don't butcher this, but it's Chimamanda Adichie. And she's a Nigerian novelist. And it was essentially explaining how when you hear one story about a group of people, you're simply putting them within the limits of that box. And if you only focus on that story and see it being repeated multiple times, that's the only thing that you'll think about that group of people. And so that affected me a lot, being Muslim, being Palestinian as well. It's ironic because she mentioned the quote of a Palestinian poet in her talk, which said, "If you want to dispossess a people, the simplest way to do it is to tell their story and to start with secondly." And so that's something that hit me a lot at that time, still hits me to this day. So it's just, that was the first one I ever watched, and it's the one that I really, really love.
It's definitely not the first one that I saw, but my favorite one is definitely Chris. It's by Chris Abani. It's called Muses on Humanity, and it just kind of talks about a lot of different, it really talks about the hardship that he has seen throughout his life. So he's a writer. He talks about the African narrative, and the Biafran War is something that he talks about a lot. And he was actually put in prison and some of the things that he saw there. But out of all of that hardship, he talks about, you know, that there's so much darkness in the world. But through that, you're able to see so many good things as well on the other side of that. And even in those dark places, there are so many beautiful things that you can see kind of along the lines of resilience and optimism within those spaces that can seem so dark. It's always gotten to me because I've always found that level of resilience very impressive and inspirational in many ways.
And on the topic of resilience, I think one that I really enjoy is Angela Duckworth. I think it's called The Power of Grit.
Yeah, sure.
And something I really like about that talk and just TED Talks in particular is when they get professors who are like really kind of technical fields, and they're able to take their research and make it so accessible where you can kind of get the gist of it in like 10 minutes and you're like, it probably took 5 years for you to learn that, but I understood it in now 10. Sure. And I feel like I'm like understand a field that I hadn't been exposed to before. So that talk really did that for me. Yeah.
Simon Sinek is one of my favorite TED Talks. He's given many that I really enjoy. But going along the same lines, there's Brené Brown. I think she's at the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. And she talks about the anatomy of trust. You know, and actually I show those videos to my leadership team and talking about how trust is not built by one event. It's all these small things you do for somebody. And, you know, if you come into our any of the leadership in our offices, on their desk, you'll see a jar of marbles and a bag of marbles. And so when somebody does something that we appreciate, you know, I encourage them to give them marbles. And so you want to fill your marble jar, but understand that you can do one thing and they can jack the whole jar of marbles over if you break that trust. You know, that's the way trust is. And that goes back to her video, which she talked about, Manny Trust is really, really a powerful one.
I love that. So your theme is rooted?
Yes.
Why that theme? What does it mean to you guys?
One of the biggest things that we noticed was that all of our speakers were, you know, from in and around the Milwaukee area. And so we wanted it to be, you know, rooted in Milwaukee. I think we kicked around roots and like a few other things, but that was kind of the main reason why we did that.
And I think too, like Nathan said, the speakers were all from this area, and we have a good opportunity with a lot of students coming from across the country to come to Marquette who don't really have those roots set up in Milwaukee. So how can we bring on some of these amazing storytellers in our community and show these different sides of Milwaukee that students might not be getting exposed to, and help students really find their roots here and start calling Milwaukee home?
Whether you work in Milwaukee, whether you're a student, ultimately you are rooted here. That goes for our speakers. That goes for anyone who was involved with this. So to have that theme kind of shows that this is who we are. We love Milwaukee and we want to try to make it as amazing as we can. And so through our speakers and through working on this with each of our speakers and each of our committee members, we're trying to make the best of it that we can.
So let's talk about that. How are you guys rooted to Milwaukee? What organizations are you working for? How are you rooted in the city?
So I did 2 years of AmeriCorps with a nonprofit called College Possible. Mm-hmm. And then I applied and was accepted to the Trinity Fellowship Program, which is a graduate program focused on economic and social justice. So I'm studying political science, and then I'm placed at the Housing Authority for the City of Milwaukee working on the Choice Neighborhood Initiative. And that has been a great experience and really rooted me in Milwaukee in a lot of different ways. I grew up in a very affluent, privileged area, so working in low-income high schools gave me a perspective that I desperately needed. Continuing that work in affordable housing across the city has been really engaging. And then I also run a podcast myself called Bridge to City, which Dr. Lovell has been on. And that's all about inspiring Milwaukee to action, bridging together people, resources, and ideas, and trying to talk to members of the community that are making positive change. And we try to leave our listeners, everyday people, with action steps they can do to feel empowered and feel like they can make a difference in their community.
So I've lived in quote-unquote Milwaukee all my life, but really it's been in the suburbs. And so coming to Marquette and living on campus has really immersed me within the community. Being a Burke Scholar as well, our focus on service is within the Milwaukee community at large. And what I've always told people is I thought I knew Milwaukee until I came to Marquette. And that goes for the good and for the bad. And so being able to volunteer at different service sites around Milwaukee, taking the bus system, which took a couple tries until I got it solidified, might have taken the wrong one once and walked 14 blocks, but it's fine. But it's been really, really incredible. I volunteer at a lot of meal sites, which I love food, but I have found that food really, really does bring people together. I was one at St. Ben's this morning, actually, for a program, meal program called The Gathering, and someone had come in straight from Milwaukee County Jail, and he was only looking to make a phone call, but he had come in and he realized there's a meal program here, and so he sat, he had breakfast with us. I was able to talk to him and hear his story. And that's been my favorite part, not only about the Burke Scholars Program, but being at Marquette is establishing that connection within Milwaukee through the relationships I'm forming. And so many people at these meal sites, I know their names, they know mine, we talk to each other. It's been really, really incredible. So that's why I feel rooted here.
Wow. So I'm originally from Cincinnati. When I came here, like I talked about, I'm very invested in the homeless population. And so many times when I'm on the street or either whether it's on Marquette's campus or off Marquette's campus, I love to have conversations with whoever comes up and starts talking to me. If they have asked me for money, then I would say, okay, well, I don't have any cash on me, but if you want, I do have like a card. So let's go sit down, let's have a meal, and let's talk. And so since then, when I was actually in undergrad, I wasn't able to, work or volunteer for any shelters. But currently I work once a week actually at the Guest House in Milwaukee, which is a really great shelter. And I've gotten to continue having those conversations and get more involved in the homeless community. And it's been a really great experience. And now I get to do that at work. And it's just fantastic, honestly, to hear where people are coming from and hear the things that they've learned and things that they can teach me. It's unbelievable, honestly. And so that's really what keeps me rooted here.
You both are obviously leaders in Milwaukee, but is there anything, any roots connections you have to the city that maybe people don't know about, either of you?
Well, for me, I think through the work that we're doing, which is the focus is the Hispanic community, and it's no secret Hispanics are growing across the country. And I think my organization and the conversations we have across the city with different leadership groups or different companies is changing the narrative. You know, what does it really look like? Because Hispanics are growing. They're not really what's been portrayed in the media, and not everybody who's an immigrant, is undocumented. I mean, just having those crucial dialogues and crucial conversations to help make Milwaukee less segregated, because we still continue to struggle with segregation issues and understanding the backgrounds that we all come from. And I think, as we've talked about today, everybody has a story to share. It's just who's willing to stop and listen and then do something about it. And I think when you talk about roots, my dad has always said, whatever you do in life, make sure you leave it better than how you found it. And that applies for work, school, or whatever it is. And so whatever impact we can have. And I think HPGM is just having a small nugget and a small impact in trying to change the narrative around our Hispanic community and making sure that our students have access to quality education, gainful employment, and ultimately bring a culture that's going to be here, right? If you're not related to Hispanic, you soon will be. That's always the joke, right? Because we're multiplying pretty quickly.
And you, Dr. Lovell?
So I think when you think about Marquette University, one of the big roles we have is improving the community we're in, and actually, you know, producing students that become men and women who live the life in service to others. And so that's just incredible to what we do. And so, you know, I think we've already heard that one of the ways we do this, it's not just serving others, it's actually having relationships with the people within our community. And that's what really moves the needle. And, you know, I'm very involved in the trauma initiative mm-hmm. here in Milwaukee and trying to address, we've come to understand that the major disparities in our city, the fundamental root of that is around trauma that people experience for generations. And so as we think about how we heal or help people heal from trauma and help be able to lift themselves up, it's through relationships and caring relationships and, you know, giving people resources so that they can heal and grow. And so I think, as I think about, you know, what we've heard about all the people on the panel today, they're doing that right now. And that's really the way that we're going to make a difference here in Milwaukee.
So Griselda, you're one of these speakers.
I am.
How did you get involved?
Cold email, right? So I just got an email randomly, I think from Yasmin, that I had been nominated as a speaker, and I'm like, great. And then asked if I would be willing to participate. And I think I'm always, anytime I can wear the Marquette flag, Dr. Lowell knows I'm always going to sign up.
And have you ever given a TED Talk before?
I have never, no.
No? So this is your first one, yeah. Yes. So what about Rooted spoke to you? Why were you excited about this theme? And what is your talk going to be about?
So my talk will be centered around mentorship. And really when you think about where we all come from, regardless of location, I mean, I think we all have roots, right? And my story is a little bit different just because I was born in Milwaukee, but I was raised in Mexico. And so my roots are kind of in Mexico. My mom's Salvadorian. And then I'm also Milwaukeean by birth. And I've kind of spent my time in and out of Milwaukee, but been back since 2006. And people say I will never leave, but we'll see. But my roots are here. And I think just how it's been explained is, you know, we all can build roots wherever we are and how entrenched we are in the community. And I think that's really special about Milwaukee. And so I was really excited about the topic.
So what are you hoping that the crowd takes away from this? What are you hoping that Marquette students will take away from your speech?
From my speech? I'm like, I haven't fully finished it. Nate will yell at me. But for me, mentorship has been crucial to my personal and professional growth. And I think when we think about mentorship, it isn't someone just with a fancy title. It could be as simple or as easy as another student, a friend, could be a parent, right? But I think demystifying what mentorship is and how we view mentorship. And I think everybody, regardless of your titles or where you are in your life, whether you're a student or a professional, I think we all can use some guidance. And I continue to rely on my mentors even today. And some are friends that have, you know, they started as mentors, if you will, that now have become friends. And then some are still just on the professional front.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. So who are some of the other speakers presenting and what are their topics?
So we have Rhea Smith. She's a student activist and a high school senior. She's going to be talking about how in the neighborhood that she was raised, how that ultimately inspired her to be self-confident, to be a student activist. And hopefully through her talk, she's going to inspire others to do the same, kind of to be active within their own communities as well. We have Paige Peters. And so her talk will be focused on arming yourself with the opportunities around you, being focused on the responsibility that we have to impact others as well, and not only ourselves. Anna Oakes, who's CEO raised by hippies, as she likes to say. And so her talk will be very focused on taking ownership of your work, being able to apply your strengths, and again, like maximizing your impact wherever you are. And then we have Joe Sweeney, who's an author and previously Brett Favre's agent, which is pretty cool. And his is focusing on networking and the importance of connecting with others and kind of formulating those relationships in our careers.
If you could each give a TED Talk on a specific topic, any topic, what would you give your talk on?
Well, this was actually a question we asked all of the members.
Oh.
And so we have all of our ideas up on our website on like the introduction. Like,
sure.
If you could give a TED Talk, what would you do? And mine was Kanye West and Icarus story. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to get into anything like that.
Now, I need to see that.
Exactly.
Maybe next year.
There you go.
The impact that you can have when you're engaging with others, especially those who you wouldn't normally engage with, is something that I've always advocated for, especially in the homeless community. But people that you just see on the street, and it doesn't have to be someone who's homeless, but just anyone that you engage with, the amount of perspective that you can develop and the stories that you can learn and the things you can learn, just like you do in a TED Talk. You know, everyone has their little 30-second elevator pitch or maybe even a few minutes. So if you take the time to start engaging with people, the amount that you can learn is astounding. And not only that, but the thing that's crazy is you never know what someone's coming from before they saw you. Whatever they're coming from, you could be the best part of their day. Just saying hi and asking them how they're doing, that could be the best part of their day. That's kind of another big thing that I think we neglect a lot of times when we see people and we don't engage. It's kind of, it's become very pervasive in our culture now to, you know, just kind of maintain that isolation if you don't know someone, to kind of like respect their privacy. But I've seldom had a time where if you engage in a polite manner that people will just reject that. So I found that very important.
Yeah. Mine would be on the current impact of the occupation on Palestinian children, not only in their daily lives, but also mentally and emotionally. And I think that goes for two parts. One, being Palestinian and my passion for where I come from, but also with my knowledge of trauma and how that affects people with my background in health sciences, being able to incorporate that as well.
And I'd probably give mine on leadership, and it'd probably be entitled Leadership, What I've Learned from All the Mistakes I've Made.
Oh.
And so it's, yeah. So.
Well, what are you doing March 30th?
Which brings me to my next question. Are you guys hoping that this is the first of many to come?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
This definitely is not meant to be an isolated event.
Yeah.
I think we really want this to continue. I know that some of our meetings, we've even talked about how we're going to improve this for next year. I know I've talked to the director, and I've talked to Yasmin and Kyle about things that we should improve for next year and how we want to make this better. So, yeah, I wouldn't be doing that if we didn't plan to make this a continuing thing.
What would be the ultimate goal for this for you guys?
I think the ultimate goal from my perspective is to keep this a tradition at Marquette and to keep TEDx Marquette U thriving. And I think we've hit on a lot of good points about mentorship. And something that is cool is we have participants in the program that are freshmen all the way up to second year graduate students. So there's even mentorship inside of TEDx Marquette U, and to, you know, have a freshman come in, have these great experiences, and then prepare them to eventually be the leaders of TEDx Marquette U, and then give back to the freshmen 4 years down the road is something that I think is really impactful.
I actually have a question for Dr. Lovell. I was just wondering, so when you gave your TED speech, did you memorize it? Did you have note cards? Or what was kind of like your preparation process or when you gave it?
So what I typically do is I would never read anything. You know, that comes across. I mean, it's very scripted. So I would actually write out what I wanted to say and then just get up and give the speech. But I typically would use either images or slides, more images in a TED talk.
I think to add on to the point about what would our goals be, just in general, a very cool aspect of the process was whether it's like making documents or like Excel spreadsheets and just going through the process as a whole, we'll notice things where it's like, okay, this definitely worked. Let's implement this for the future. And this, not so much. So it's cool to see that whoever will be carrying the torch in future years will be able to benefit from our mistakes in a way and our strengths at the same time.
Yeah. And I think Yasmin brings up a good point too on how it is a very like collaborative process, but that also involves community members and with in addition to students. So we're always looking to fill positions. So next year there'll be people that are graduating and moving on, and there'll be positions for students to fill. But we're also always curating amazing community leaders to give talks. So anyone that's listening that knows someone they think would be give an amazing TED Talk, or if you come across them in the following months, you can go to our website and nominate that person, and they'll be on a running list for future events.
And as a speaker this year, I have to commend the committee on their work and leadership. And I think that speaks to Marquette as an institution, and that they're really trying to instill really the mantra of the university is we want to build leaders, hopefully for our community, for generations to come. So kudos to the committee because as a speaker, they really have taken care of me and eased my nerves. Mm-hmm. And so congratulations. And I look forward to March 30th.
I'd say one quick thing off of that is that personally, I've had a bunch of jobs, done tons of group projects at this point, and I have to say this is one of the best group of people that I've ever worked with at TEDx. It's really incredible to see how everyone works together at these meetings. Going off of what Dr. Lovell was talking about with leadership, I mean, it's at every level. Everyone has really strong trust in each other. The accountability is there. All the things that you need in a great organization. The innovation is there because we all trust in each other and because we all feel very comfortable. When you're at these meetings, no one really feels like they have to hold back any ideas. There's always free-flowing ideas, and nobody shoots it down if it sounds too ostentatious or outrageous. We figure out a way to make it work, or we will discuss it further. And I think that's really great. And the amount of dedication that we've had, everyone's working incredibly hard, and it's so nice after working. You know, everyone's been in those situations where you're an organization and you feel like you have to pick up the slack, and I haven't felt like that once. In fact, I feel like if anything, people are offering to help me when I don't even need it, and that's awesome. Like, I would love to be at that position in future jobs.
I have to add on to that, because I have also noticed how incredible this group of people is. And the reason I actually got involved was really through Kyle. I'm part of Marquette's Burke Scholars Program. And last year, he came to one of our seminars, and he kind of just introduced the idea. And then this year, I saw that the interview or the link was sent out for applications. And I figured, you know what? I'll apply, see what happens. And obviously, here we are now. Just like Nathan said, everyone is so dedicated, so focused. Our meetings are awesome. We're always like bouncing ideas off of each other. So it's been a really, really incredible experience.
And great for Marquette to kind of give you the space and the voice.
Absolutely.
And all of that to get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the support for sure.
Oh, yes.
We've had a great deal of support, and we definitely couldn't have done it without that.
Let's hear what the website is. Tell us information on how people can find out more.
Yeah, so the hub for all TEDx Marquette U information is TEDxMarquetteU.com. From there, you can apply to actually join the team. You can nominate speakers, which is open year-round. It doesn't just need to be around the talk time. We will curate those lists. And then we're on all the social media platforms as well. And we encourage people to share for the event coming up March 30th.
And the talks will be available after the fact online?
Correct. They will all be on YouTube. And we will likely have our own version of a podcast, too, where anyone can listen to just the audio. If they're out and about and don't have time to watch video.
Well, good luck, everyone, with the event, and thanks for coming and chatting about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.